Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes!
So it is.
It is.
The 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on a Friday on 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com, on your computer or on your smartphone, the radio.com app, however you listen tonight. We appreciate your patronage. You got something over there, Manny? You're raising your hand.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you want to hang out at 5 a.m.
To watch the royal wedding?
Absolutely. I'll bring over some donuts, some coffee.
There are a million things I'd rather do, including sleep.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was a good time to bond with baby Luca. I'm pretty sure he'll be awake.
He'll probably sleep till like 7. Maybe if you want to come at 7, we'll watch the royal wedding. Isn't that what time it actually starts? Like 7 a.m.?
5 a.m.
Oh, if it's 5 a.m., no chance, man. Hey, he'll still be sleeping at that point.
If Enter was playing, that'd be different.
Yeah, I think the earliest I've woken up to watch Enter is 6:30 a.m. So pretty close to that.
Texters and listeners, please call or text us and tell me if you'll be one of those people waking up at that time for that.
Like, I can't understand why anybody, especially if you're not in the UK, like, why you would care about that, right? Like, I don't enjoy weddings, period. Right. And like I say this with peace and love because, you know, a good friend of mine is getting married in a few months. I'm going to go to that wedding. I've been to probably 50 weddings in my life. I've never enjoyed going to other people's weddings. And that's actually going to weddings of people you care about, family members, friends. I've never enjoyed going to a wedding. So do you really think I want to watch two strangers get married on TV? Like, seriously, like you could not pay me. Like, it's bad enough. At least when you go to a wedding, you're probably getting free booze and free booze and free food, right? But to watch a wedding on TV, I wouldn't do that if that was a family member. And you want me to watch the wedding of two strangers on TV?
I'd only go and watch it, Alex, if they would pay me to go cover it. I mean, I'd be going to London for the first time, getting the whole experience, being part of a wedding. Yeah, that's the only way I would definitely watch it.
Yeah, if they wanted to, like, I don't know why a sports radio station would do that, but if they wanted us to pay, if they wanted to pay us to go cover the royal wedding, I'm all about that, man. I don't care what they're serving there. They can serve me some of that haggis. If that's the free meal, I will eat some of that, man. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, but please don't text and drive. Or you can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Later this hour, I'll give you my top three weekend predictions, right? Things that I am expecting to transpire in the South Florida sports scene throughout the weekend. Weekend predictions coming up. And then on Monday, I come on and give you my weekend disappointments because sometimes my predictions don't exactly pan out. But always one of the things that gets me excited for an upcoming college football season, there's the fact that my Miami Hurricanes should be pretty, pretty good coming off a 10-win season last year. And now you've got a lot of odds that have been posted for Hurricanes football. Over-unders, other interesting prop bets, betting odds for the Hurricanes this season. As, you know, in a few days, the rest of the freshmen enrollees are going to come in. You know, the Cam Davises of the world. But, okay, here are some over-under bets for the Miami Hurricanes. Tell me if you like this one. Over-under on wins, 10.5. Wow! I think that's... That's incredibly generous, and to be honest with you, I hate to say it, but I would go under 10.5 because I think they're going to win 10 games again this year. This is what they have to say about it at stateoftheu.com. Coming off a 10-3 season last year, Miami should be expected to take a small step forward. If not for missing the Arkansas State game due to last year's actual hurricane, Miami likely would have had 11 wins, so they think 10.5 wins is the over-under. I would take the slight under on that. Who will be the starter week one? Malik Rozier, the favorite, at minus 150. Nkosi Perry, pretty close to even odds there, but Nkosi Perry behind him at plus 175. Who will be the starter week one at quarterback? I think this is a no-brainer, Malik Rozier, unless there's some kind of an injury for him in fall camp. I'm not expecting N'Kosi Perry to start that first game. I'm surprised that that's only a minus 150 and it's not more of like a minus 300 or 350 with Malik Rozier being the stronger favorite there. Every indication from spring practice showed us he's clearly ahead of everybody talking about Malik. And when you head into a season where you open up, not against Savannah State, not against FAMU, not against Bethune-Cookman, when you open up in Dallas against LSU in a nationally televised kickoff game on a Sunday night, one of Manny Chang's many teams that he roots for, the LSU Tigers, you open up against LSU in a national showcase game, I find it very hard to believe that Mark Richt is going to give the nod to a redshirt freshman who's never taken a snap in a collegiate game before. I feel strongly about Malik Rozier being the opener, the starter on opening day. Could that change during the season? Of course. Of course it could change. I hope it doesn't change, right? Because if Malik Rozier gets the opening day start, if he is no longer the starter a couple of weeks later, it probably means he's been playing poorly and the team is doing poorly. So I hope whoever wins that starting job keeps that starting job. I don't want to see anybody benched next year. But to me, Malik Rozier should be a stronger favorite than minus 150. Who will have the most rushing yards this year? This one's interesting because that backfield is stacked, right? I think this is more of a legit conversation than who starts at quarterback. Who will have the most rushing yards this year? Travis Homer, the slight favorite at minus 125. DJ Dallas at plus 125. Or Lorenzo Lingard at plus 150. Now, I think the smart money would obviously be on Travis Homer because I think he's going to get the most carries, but I think Lorenzo Lingard would be more likely than DJ Dallas, who has slightly better odds than Lingard, because I could see Lingard being just so overwhelmingly good this year as a true freshman. Like, he's going to get and stay on the field, whereas between the three of those guys, I think DJ Dallas would probably have the most reception yards because you're going to line him up wide sometimes and line him up in the slot. Because he's more of like an all-purpose guy, put him in the Wildcat set where he'll rush. But when you're actually talking about guys lining up in the backfield and getting carries, you know, Travis Homer should get the most carries this year. But I could totally see Lorenzo Lingard kind of being like what Frank Gore showed when he was a true freshman. Like, he's going to be so impactful when he carries that you're going to have to leave him in for like entire drives on the field. You're not going to be substituting the guy a lot when he gets in. So I could see Lorenzo Lingard as a dark horse to be kind of in that same conversation as Travis Homer. But Travis Homer, the favorite to lead the team in rushing yards at minus 125. Then you have DJ Dallas plus 125. Lorenzo Lingard at plus 150. Here's what the guys at State of the U said about it. Last week, I discussed why I think Homer will remain the starting running back in 2018, and I'm sticking to that. The junior had 163 carries last year and averaged an impressive 5.9 yards per carry. DJ Dallas picked it up late in the season, but still only managed 41 carries. Homer should shoulder most of the load early in the season, but could cede more and more carries to both Dallas and Lingard later in the year. Homer's early season performance against the likes of Savannah State, Toledo, and FIU could give him the boost necessary to be the season's rushing leader. Don't discount the other two, though, he writes. Who will wear the turnover chain most? Oh, now we're getting down to business. It's not going to be Manny Chang. Who will wear the turnover chain most?
It'll be Sebastian the Ivis in my room.
Oh, on that bobblehead, USOB. So here are the odds. Jaquan Johnson, the favorite, at plus 100. Michael Jackson, then at plus 150. Lord Sheldrick of House Redwine at plus 250. Trajan Bandy at plus 300. Man, it's like, I don't just want to go chalk with this one because that's probably the hardest one to predict because a guy could get hot. Like, you could see like a two-game stretch where Michael Jackson gets like four interceptions in two games. Like, you could see a guy get hot like that, but I got to go with Jaquan Johnson on that one. I mean, Jaquan Johnson is one of the two or best three players on that defense, period, because you also have to think about the linebackers. Shaquille Quarterman is awesome, but Jaquan Johnson at safety is so important to that defense, such a ball-hawking guy, and the fact that he came back for his senior year when he really didn't have to, I think this guy is ready to ball out this year. So I could understand why Jaquan Johnson is the favorite at plus 100 to wear the turnover chain most. I hope we see a few of these guys. Look, I think the most turnover chains given out last year was like 6 or 7. I would love to see like Jaquan Johnson and Michael Jackson both wear the turnover chain like 7, 8 times a piece. That would be awesome. Okay, here we go. Who wins the ACC Coastal? Miami the favorite with even odds, or Virginia Tech at plus 150. You know, obviously, I'm going to stick with the home cooking here. I'm going to stick with the home cooking, and I think that Miami is going to win the ACC Coastal again. And that's where I set the bar now. Every year moving forward, and you shouldn't need to hear me say this, but any season where you don't win the Coastal Division should be looked at as a failure. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You win the Coastal. I mean, who the quarterback is, maybe that will affect your ability to win the ACC because you're probably not better than Clemson right now. But your standard every single year, no matter who's quarterbacking that team, whether it's Malik Rozier or Cade Weldon, you should win the Coastal. Hashtag win the Coastal. That should be the baseline.
So you're taking the Al Davis approach, just get there, baby?
Wasn't it just win, baby?
Yeah, but I'm trying to say get there, not win there.
Just win the Coastal.
You just mentioned it. You win the Coastal, but at the end of the day, you want a chance to win the conference, and you want a chance to be in the top four to play for the, you know, to be in that playoff.
But winning the Coastal is the bare minimum, right? We can have a conversation. Like some of you out there, I talk to people who still think even the state Miami has been in, if they don't win the national title, that's a failure. Some people feel that way even at this point. I don't think unfortunately, we're not at that point again as a program. But some people will say a season where you don't win a national title is a disappointment. Many people feel that if you don't win the ACC, it's a disappointment. But I'm telling you flat out, if you don't win the Coastal, that is a disappointing season. So Miami does have the best odds, even odds to win the Coastal. Then Virginia Tech is next in line with a plus 150 odd. I hope you're right, but I don't see it with Miami being better than last year, Texter writes. Lost quite a few good players, especially on the defensive line. That's going to be, I think, the biggest area of question after. And still to this day, I don't understand why. And I guess it was just to get a quick payday, but they could have improved their stock and they could have been drafted more highly. I still don't understand why McIntosh and Norton felt compelled to leave to be late picks. It annoys me because you don't see that happening in a lot of other programs. I mean, Clemson had a couple of defensive linemen who would have been drafted way higher, and they both came back to school this year. And Miami loses guys routinely to be 5th, 6th, 7th round picks. It annoys me. 560-22 is how you get in on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Top three list coming up. Dono's top three heading into the weekend. My weekend predictions, and let me give you a teaser here. One of these predictions includes Manny Chang. My weekend predictions coming up. Another includes the sort of mood I'm going to be in come Monday night, right? When I come back on the airwaves, 6 p.m. on Monday after an eventful sports weekend. Big NBA weekend, big soccer weekend for me. You're going to see me. You're going to know what kind of a mood I'm going to be in on Monday. My top three weekend predictions coming up next.
For the Ed Morse Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios.
Morse has more. Ed Morse is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County.
Something I want to get to later this hour. If you missed a conversation that I had with Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post, you want to check it out at the WQAM podcast, WQAM.com, and on iTunes. Because I actually inspired Hal in what he wrote today in the Palm Beach Post, because we had this conversation yesterday where, you know, I asked him for all the years he's been covering the Dolphins, and he's been covering the team off and on, sometimes as a beat guy, sometimes as an editor, you know, going back early into the Don Shula days. All the head coaches he's seen, is Cam Cameron by far the most incompetent? Because like the first year that I ever covered the team behind the scenes, I've been a Dolphin fan all my life going back to Shula, but the first year that I actually ever covered the team, going to practices, going to the locker room, watching the coaches speak to the media live, it was 2007. It was the Cam Cameron year. And I just couldn't believe that guy was the head coach of a football team from fail forward fast, to not being able to answer a question about who was calling the plays, to the whole Ted Ginn and his family fiasco, like Cam Cameron, the guy could not have looked more clueless. And so Hal told me that inspired a list that he wrote today at palmbeachpost.com, where he ranks best to worst Miami Dolphins head coaches from 1 to 11. I think we can all guess who number one is, but interesting to see the way the rest of that list kind of shakes down. I want to get to that a little bit later on. Should the Warriors be concerned about Steph Curry? That was the topic of an ESPN panel today. And I think from a health standpoint, yes. And that's the same thing that Kevin Arnovitz said. Yes, though concern or lack thereof doesn't change the conditions on the ground for the Golden State Warriors. I'd be less concerned about the defensive piece when Curry matches up with Harden, Paul, or Eric Gordon. The Rockets aren't actually producing all that efficiently. Then Curry's movement off the ball, his ability to buzz around screens, suck in defenders, and compromise opponents' defensive schemes propels so much of what the Warriors do offensively. Even one lost step, and that offense becomes less effective. It also means less daylight for Curry to catch and shoot. So I think that Curry's health, even though everybody there in Golden State denies it, Steve Kerr denies there's anything wrong with his knee, Steph Curry denies it. If he looks off again in Game 3 and the Rockets can shoot lights out and out-muscle Golden State on the boards, that could affect the way the rest of this series goes. I certainly feel like that series, although I'm pretty confident in Golden State because I expect Steph to bounce back, and I also think that even without 100% Steph Curry, the Warriors are still the better team. I still think that series is more kind of in flux, more up for grabs than the Cleveland-Boston series. Like, I'm really not expecting Cleveland to come back and win that series because for as incredible as LeBron James is and can be, you've got too much to make up for with the way his teammates have been playing. And that leads us into, my friends, top three list here on a Friday night. My top three weekend sports predictions.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
So after a couple of nights with no basketball, you're going to have Eastern Conference Finals Game 3 tomorrow night, Western Conference Finals Game 3 on Sunday night. And so my first weekend prediction centers around the East. I'm telling you, the Cavaliers will not only win Game 3, they will win Game 3 by double digits tomorrow night. And here's the overreaction knee-jerk that is going to cause, because I don't believe the Cavs winning tomorrow night is going to be the first spark in them coming back and winning this series. I think the Cavs will lose in five or six games in this Eastern Conference Final Series, but the Cavaliers will bounce back enough tomorrow night in a must-win game, and LeBron's going to get enough help that they will win tomorrow night by double digits, and this will cause a complete change in the way fans view this series. Once I return to the airwaves on Monday, you're going to come out of that weekend, many of you. Not me, but many of you will come out of that weekend. You're going to hear it for 4 hours on the Hockman and Crowder show, by the way. You're going to come out of the weekend believing the Cavs have a real shot and the Cavs are going to win that series. J.R. Smith, I believe, will hit at least 4 3-pointers tomorrow night. How about that? So I think not only do the Cavs win Game 3 tomorrow, because if the Cavs were to win Game 3 by a point, a LeBron game-winning shot, you're probably still thinking to yourself, yeah, the Celtics are still the better team. They're going to come back and win the series. But the Cavs will win in blowout fashion tomorrow night, and many of you will overreact to it and think this is the start of a complete paradigm shift, and LeBron James is going to come back and win this thing. So you will overreact to it, but I'm telling you, the Cavs win by double digits tomorrow night. LeBron will play great. Everyone else on that team will play great, and it's still not going to matter. They're still going to lose that series. Prediction number two. Manny, I hope you're listening. Prediction number two. Manny Chang will be a full-blown Miami Hurricanes fan again by Monday. I'm telling you. He's going to buy that bobblehead from me. He's going to start posing for pictures with it on social media. He's going to start, like, sending tweets to Laz and Cutler Ridge and Peter Ariz and Matt Porter. Although Matt Porter is, congratulations to him. He is leaving the beat soon to go to Boston and cover the Bruins. Oh, you didn't hear that? Yeah, he's on his...
Him and Billy Viola. I mean, Billy Volin, sorry.
Ben Volin. Yeah, everybody from the Palm Beach Post ends up going to Boston.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I'm telling
by
you,
Manny... I am so inspired by seeing this bobblehead face-to-face. I might watch the U part one tonight.
Oh, and I guarantee
and that
you...
That might draw me in.
If he... And that'll make anybody a fan. If you watch the U documentary this weekend, you're going to be a full-blown Canes fan again by Monday. I'm telling you. That's when it's going to take him a while to admit it. He's going to be in the closet for a while because, you know, you're not going to want people to really bash you. But I'm telling you, my weekend, this is actually the one I'm most confident of, by the way. My number two out of three weekend predictions, Manny Chang will be a full-blown Miami Hurricanes football fan again by Monday. We've seen the signs throughout the week. He wants that Canes bobblehead. We've seen the signs that Manny Chang is itching. He's been tweeting Laz from Cutler Ridge. Manny asked me on Wednesday, he begged me to put up that Twitter poll asking Canes fam if they should let him back in as a Hurricanes fan. I've seen the signs throughout the week. He wants to get back in. He wants to share in the excitement because you're living in the epicenter of Hurricanes fans. You work for the flagship radio station. You get to interact with Laz and the Laz tailgate and all that stuff. Like, he wants to be back in. He's going to have a new U tattoo probably by next fall. And here's my number three weekend prediction. This is the one that pains me because it affects me in a negative way. Tell you what I'm concerned about. So let me give you some background on this. My soccer team, my club that I live and die with, Inter Milan, they have to win on Sunday to qualify for next year's Champions League. They need to win on Sunday. They have to beat Lazio on the road in Rome, Stadio Olimpico, a tough place to play. They have to win. And, you know, goal differential doesn't matter, a 1-0 win, a 2-1 win, whatever it is. They just have to win this Sunday. If they draw or if they lose, they fall a spot short of Champions League position, which would be very disappointing because you lose out on a lot of revenue and you lose out on a lot of worldwide attention if you're not in the Champions League. So it's a must-win game on the road in Rome against Lazio this Sunday. And I predict that when you hear me on the airwaves on Monday, my heart will be broken because here's what I expect to happen. Because being an Inter fan, it's a lot like being a Dolphins fan. Although Inter has won more and a lot more recently. They did win the Champions League back in 2010. Compare that to the Dolphins winning the last Super Bowl that they won in 1973. There's a difference there. But a lot of disappointment does come from being an Inter fan. So here's how I predict this is going to go. I mentioned it's got to be a victory. A draw does not cut it. A loss does not cut it. I predict, and I can set this in stone. Moses will put this on the stone tablets. Inter will have a 1-0 lead for most of the game, and then you come down to about the 89th minute, 90th minute perhaps, they will give up a late equalizer, the game will end in a draw, and it's going to be the most heartbreaking fashion possible, and I'm barely going to be able to show up to work on Monday. I'll be so disappointed. So I am predicting heartbreak for me over the weekend in soccer. I'm predicting Manny Chang is a full-blown Hurricanes fan again by Monday. And I'm predicting LeBron James and the Cavaliers will not only win Game 3 tomorrow night, they will win Game 3 by about 20 points. J.R. Smith will play great, and it's going to create a lot of false hope for Cavaliers backers, for LeBron James fans. You're going to come out of the weekend thinking, the Cavaliers have got this. Trailing 2-1, they dominated at home. We've got the Celtics right where we want them. Even if that happens, even if the blowout victory happens tomorrow night, I still predict Celtics in five or six games. But I think the Game 3 win for Cleveland in a must-win game, right? Because you go down 0-3, you can cancel Christmas. It's over. But I do predict the Cavaliers bounce back tomorrow night, and that's going to cause a lot of you to overreact and think that's a sign that the Cavaliers are actually coming back and winning that series. Rockets are just as good, Texter writes. Man. I wouldn't mind either outcome. And either of those teams are beating Cleveland or Boston, right? Like, whoever comes out of the Western Conference. And I'm not saying, like, I wouldn't be pissed to see the Rockets in the finals. I mean, I enjoy watching Chris Paul breaking ankles. I enjoy watching Harden take over. I think either of those teams beats Cleveland, especially. Either of those teams beats Boston. And you know what? Maybe seeing some new blood in the finals, right? To see the Rockets get there instead of the Golden State Warriors. it might be a little bit refreshing to me. What would that mean for the ratings, though? Because I think I know if I'm an ABC network executive, don't you want the fourth straight year of Cavs Warriors? Isn't that the best thing for the ratings? You get the consistency of the grudge match between these two teams. The Warriors have won twice. The Cavs have won once. The familiarity that comes with that rivalry, I think, is important for them. And you're not lacking in star power there, obviously, from LeBron James to Steph to Kevin Durant to Draymond. You're not lacking any star power there in that series, and viewers are so familiar with it, that would probably be the number one ratings getter. The Celtics are a tougher sell, right? And I think the individuals on that team deserve more credit, but the guy who gets all the credit, fairly or unfairly, is their coach, Brad Stevens. Like, that becomes the angle, right? The angle to sell Boston is, look at this gritty team without their best players injured, right? Kyrie Irving has been out. Gordon Hayward has been out the entire year. How are they doing this with smoke and mirrors? Their head coach, young Brad Stevens, must be a genius. That becomes the selling point for the Celtics. They don't really have star power outside of the fact that they try to sell that head coach like he's the Wizard of Oz. And so Houston versus Boston, or even Golden State versus Boston, I think we can all agree that not having LeBron James in the NBA Finals, it's going to be a little bit bad for business there as far as TV ratings go. And how would that affect Miami as far as watching the Finals? Would you pass on the NBA Finals if LeBron James is not in it? Whether you admit it or not, I know that for a lot of people in this community, that has been the selling point that has kept you invested. Guy who used to play here, used to win championships here. You either watch him because you still love him and respect him, or you watch him because you're team petty and you're rooting for him to lose. Either way, much like Floyd Mayweather, you still watch. Right? So if LeBron James isn't in the Finals, now in this TV market, I heard Will Manso talking about this afternoon on our radio station. The NBA Finals ratings in South Florida have been the highest outside of Cleveland and outside of Golden State since those two teams have matched up these last couple of years. That the number three market consuming NBA Finals games after the two host cities, right? Because obviously your team is in it in the San Francisco Bay Area, Oakland, everybody's watching. Everybody in Cleveland is watching because your team is in it. Outside of those two markets, the top market for watching NBA Finals games on TV has been South Florida. And I've got to believe, and it's not to discredit this as a basketball town, because I know there are a lot of fans down here of the NBA, but I've got to imagine the reason why the ratings are so high here is because of the LeBron factor. If you take LeBron out of the NBA Finals this year, how far does that viewership dip? 10%, 20%, 50%? How many people aren't turning those games on in the Finals because LeBron isn't there? That has been the number one selling point, right? I mean, you can try and argue that Kevin Durant, maybe some of you say, well, he's the reigning MVP and Finals MVP. He's the bigger star now. It's nonsense. He's not a bigger star. Steph Curry is not a bigger star than LeBron. Harden is not a bigger star than LeBron. CP3 is not a bigger star than LeBron. And you factor that in with the Miami market, our obsession with all things LeBron James. You take LeBron out of the Finals, you're taking a hit here. Would still watch, a texter writes in at 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Oh, this is a good question, because I talked about how I'm expecting to be disappointed by Inter Milan not making the Champions League. If watching the royal wedding would guarantee an Inter victory, would you watch it then? Of course. Of course. I would probably sell a pinky.
Not donate a testicle for $35,000?
I wouldn't. We talked about that yesterday. I'm still fascinated by that story. So the scientific community, this is real. I'm not making this up.
By the way, Alex, quick correction. It begins on TV at 6 a.m.
So 6 a.m. is when the royal wedding coverage starts. That sounds dreadful. But I would watch it to guarantee an Inter victory in Champions League. Of course I would.
But it's times like this where Twitter is awesome. You'll wake up at 10, 11 a.m. and you just check Twitter and you have all the videos, all the pictures, all everything. It's like, fine. I didn't miss anything.
Can somebody explain to me the fascination that as Americans we have by watching royal weddings? And this one doesn't even really count, right? Look, I could understand when you watched Prince William marry Kate Middleton, because that's the crown prince. That guy's going to be the king, and she's going to be the queen. Prince Harry is never going to be king unless William dies. Like, he's not going to be king, and Meghan Markle is not going to be the queen. Like, this one doesn't even really count.
So how are they related again, Harry and the other guy?
Oh, they're brothers, Harry and William.
I didn't know that.
But since
I supposed to know that as an American?
I just think as a human being, you're supposed to know that. Everybody knows that.
Oh, damn. You called me out there.
Omar Kelly, if you're listening, this is the guy you follow on Twitter. Really?
Hey, oh, don't worry, my man. I got you all you need for all the Twitter info for tomorrow night. Tomorrow morning's wedding.
This is the guy you follow on Twitter, man.
By the way, talking about predictions, Caps and Lightning are now tied at 2. This series seems like it's going to go 7 games.
I hope so. I want both of those series to go 7 games.
I just think, man, Jonathan Marchessault just playing out of his mind right now.
Does that bother Panthers fans?
It should bother because there was one name that I kept telling Billy all year last year that this guy cannot go into the lottery. But I get it. Guy was signed for a 1-year deal only from Tampa Bay. Had a superb, had a not great year. Comes to the Panthers, just excels in points and in playing style, power play, PK, you name it. The guy did it all. And he goes to Vegas, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, maybe we found our guy with the Russian guy that we signed. I forget his name. What's his name?
Oh, Dadanov.
Dadanov had an amazing season.
Dadanov had a great year.
Mark him off with Marchessault, what he's doing in the playoffs, you go, did we do something wrong?
That's tough because you could have kept that guy. You just didn't protect him.
Riley Smith, we understand. He wanted to leave already.
Sure.
Marchessault?
That's tough, man. That's tough. By the way, a texter writes in, not only will he still watch the finals without LeBron, he will be happier to watch the finals without LeBron. Bravo. That is true Team Petty right there. That's real Team Petty, where not only will you still watch the finals, you will be happier to watch the finals without LeBron James.
I have a confession.
What's up?
I will be wearing my LeBron James Heat jersey if he makes the finals.
Why?
Because I'll be rooting for him.
See, this is again. You are a bandwagoner. You tried to tell me that the term bandwagon does not apply. You are a band. Like, you want to sell. And let me tell you, I feel like I'm qualified to be Manny's psychiatrist. Like, I understand the way he ticks. I think I really do. Like, I understand the way he thinks. Manny Chang is addicted to the celebration. He wants to celebrate.
Bring down the confetti.
He wants to celebrate with whoever wins a championship. Like, that's what it is for you.
I want to be Kevin Hart. You know, Eagles win a Super Bowl. I want to be on the podium.
I guarantee you, like, whoever wins Lord Stanley's Cup, any of the 4 teams in the running, Manny Chang is going to celebrate with those fans. I guarantee you.
I will be purchasing a towel.
He's addicted to the celebration is what it is. He's addicted to that.
What? I like happiness. There's nothing wrong with that.
But happiness has to be earned. It's not given. I've been waiting longer than my lifetime. Because the Miami Dolphins, their last Super Bowl victory 45 years ago, I'm 33 years old. Somehow, I've only been on this planet 33 years, yet I've been waiting 45 years for a championship. Who's this on line for? Gary?
Harry.
Harry. See, I'm glad I asked you. Harry. You're on QAM. What's up?
Hey, listen. This final we're talking about, if the Cavs don't reach the final, you know, I don't like when those issues are discussed. You know the reason why? Because a lot of fans out here claim that basketball is not real no more. They know who they want in the final.
Right.
And who they want
in the
final.
The conspiracy, that's I understand.
So if LeBron now, if you guys are saying if LeBron don't reach to the final, no, they're not going to the ratings not going to be good.
Well, they're still going to be good, but they're not going to be great, right? Because LeBron is the guy who brings the ratings.
Yes, but by saying that, it's like opening a can of worms. Like, let's put LeBron, since as the NBA going to lose all this revenue, because if they lose 10% of the viewers, they're going to lose something else. They're going to lose some money, right?
They will lose a little money, sure. I think that would be more the TV networks than the league. That would probably be more of an ABC problem than an NBA problem. But I guess that there's got to be a trickle-down, though, right? Like, if the TV ratings are down, it has a more immediate impact on the TV partner. Yeah. But it would probably impact the league as well.
By saying that, let me ask you this. Do you think LeBron have a chance to win this series anymore?
I think he's got about an 8% chance, a very low chance. I'm banking on the Celtics to win this series.
I want to ask you this though.
Sure.
You see, they say LeBron have come back from 2 down and 3 down.
He has.
You check out the team and the player that he have around him when those things happen, and tell me if they measure up to these players that he have around him right now.
No, this is the worst supporting cast he's ever had.
Okay then. So my point is well taken. All right, I'll hang up and listen, man.
Yeah, listen. His supporting cast is playing epically bad. But what I've been saying, why I expect the Cavs to win game three is I think that supporting cast is going to show up for one of those games in Cleveland, because role players always play better at home. So I think they're going to have a big splash tomorrow night. And then I expect Golden State to take a 3-1 lead in game four. But listen, isn't that true for every league? There are certain guys you want to have in the final. I mean, doesn't the NFL, don't they want Tom Brady in the Super Bowl? He kind of has gotten the Super Bowl every year. But don't they want Tommy Brady in the Super Bowl? Doesn't the NBA want LeBron James in the championship round?
Well, the same can be said with the NHL. They want Sidney Crosby right in there every year.
And now they probably want Ovechkin.
Well, he's never won the title.
Right, but I'm saying, like, wouldn't they want that to happen at this point? That they would want Ovechkin to get that shot?
And I'm sure baseball would like to have an L.A. New York World Series, or any, you know, a Chicago, New York, Chicago, L.A. type of series as well.
That doesn't necessarily mean, though, that they're going to go out of their way to manipulate it behind the scenes. Texter writes in, Boston is a lot bigger of a market than Cleveland. No, that's true. Boston's a better media market than Cleveland, but LeBron James brings more people to the set from other media markets. Like, that's going to increase the national rating. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. What am I watching right now on TV? It looks like Meghan Markle putting her makeup on. Jeez. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QA.
I'm always ready for a war again. Go down that road again. It's all the same.
It is the Alex Dono Show here on 560 WQAM. With you till 10 o'clock here tonight. You know, earlier this week, Mark Hochman was playing back the clips of the infamous John Renshaw seeing the cat under the desk in the studio. And, you know, I was in the room for that. I was there for that. And I'm going to bring on later in the 8 o'clock hour the other guy who was in the room and witnessed that whole thing going down, Dave Dwork, who we used to work with here. Manny, were you in the building that day when we were seeing cats in the studio?
I was driving in when the other incident occurred.
Well, I don't even remember the other incident.
He hit our intern.
With his car.
Yeah. And he actually decided to take a couple pushes on the gas pedal before actually stopping.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and that happened the same day, man. That happened the same day.
Yeah, like, you want to talk about somebody's day not being what they thought they was when they woke up? Yeah, it's definitely one of them for him.
560-22 is how you get in on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Or you can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. So Tito Banach tipped me off to this today. And Manny, you've actually found this rant. So we're still trying to verify. I think Tito maybe gave me a little bit of misinformation, because Tito texted me this morning that every show on this station has been ripping Manny Chang for being a bandwagoner or a team jumper, whatever you want to call it. He claimed to me today that Joe Rose and Big O were ripping Manny, but Joe Rose's producer, Hollywood, claims that that never happened on the Joe Rose Show. So we have some conflicting information here. And I'm guessing if the producer of the Joe Rose Show says that never happened on that show, probably would have to take his word over Tito's word. But Tito was correct about Big O ripping Manny. This must have been awkward for you, because Manny actually went and found the sound clip of another person ripping him. That must have been incredibly awkward, but you do have the sound clip, correct? Can you play it for us? This is the Big O Show. Big O ripping our own Manny Chang.
Can you imagine? Are any of you out there? Do you have to give in to your wives? Maybe Manny, right? Manny, because Manny erased his UM tattoo because he's hanging out with an FSU girl. So he's afraid that she'd get mad at him. So he erased. How about that? We got a producer on our station that had a UM tattoo. He loves his U, right? So he changed it. Now, what is it, like a Star Wars tattoo or something?
Iron Man.
Iron Man. So he changed his UM tattoo to an Iron Man tattoo so he wouldn't piss off his FSU girlfriend. So Manny's the guy that would get up at 4 in the morning because his girlfriend would drag him up, and he would have to get up because anybody that would erase their UM tattoo because of your FSU girlfriend, that's just weak sauce. I have to sit down with Manny. We need to have an intervention with Manny.
Has he reached out to you to sit down with him?
I haven't checked. No.
Wow.
And my voicemails are completely empty.
That was strong stuff right there.
By the way, I was actually hard working in Coral Gables while this was occurring, so this breaks my heart.
It does. Like, I do feel bad when I rip you the days that you're not here.
Oh no, trust me. I hear it from other people. I know you do. Remind me.
I understand that, right?
Like, but it's like, all good. Listen, as long as you guys are entertaining, listen. Yeah. I've been doing this for 8-9 years. Everybody that knows this, I have a stuttering issue. If you make fun of me, I'll go along with it, my man.
Well, life I wouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't make fun of that. That's just mean. Plus,
no,
I don't.
It doesn't mean, but I'm already used to it. Like Channing Crowder. Hey, dude, we have laughs and fun. I don't care. I make fun of Channing too, not in his face.
I feel like you're making this very sad now, though. Like you're
trying to get you where it hurts, buddy.
No, because you're trying to say, like, you're trying to bring it into like other issues. Like, oh, if you want to make fun of my stuttering issue, that's fine. You're pulling the attention away from the tattoo.
I'm trying to turn the negative people to positive over my side.
You're trying to make me feel bad for you. Like I could care less whether you stutter or not. I couldn't care less. I think is the right way to say that. I couldn't care less whether you stutter. I care about the fact that you had a UM tattoo and you covered it up. And I love what Big O said there, that if there's any guy that we work with who is going to wake up at 4 in the morning to watch the royal wedding, it's probably Manny. Because if you're lovely, great. And by the way, your girlfriend is great, by the way. She is awesome. Lovely, very nice person. I'm not ripping her, I'm ripping you. But if she wants you to wake up at 4 in the morning to watch that royal wedding, he's doing it.
Hey, listen, as long as I get breakfast, that's all I care about.
Let's talk to Sean. You're on QAM. What's up, Sean?
Dude, Manny Chang, you got rid of your UM tattoo?
Shameful,
your
right?
Your girl's an FSU fan? Weak, bro. That's weak. Come on, Manny.
Anything
Are you
else?
Serious?
Tell me something I don't know.
I mean, I gotta agree with Big O. That's weak sauce, bro. Come on, man. Grow some balls. Come on, Johnny.
Hey, listen, that weak sauce tasted pretty good. What's your problem?
Let's go Canes, baby. Let's go Canes. Come on, man.
I appreciate the call. Well, what if your girlfriend told you, hey, we can make $35,000 tomorrow if you donate one of your testicles? You would do that, right? He's thinking about it. That was a real story. Manny actually found that story yesterday. I mean, and this is like a public service announcement. If anybody's interested in making $35,000, you can actually do that by donating one of your testicles. You could probably donate both for 70 grand if you wanted to. But you can get 35 grand per by donating one to science, or maybe donating it for somebody else who needs it. So that's an actual thing you can do. I think Manny would do that if his girlfriend wanted him to. How about this? Texter writes in, that's the only smart thing Big O has ever said. Now, so you ripped Manny and Big O in that single tweet, or that single text that you wrote to the station. I love that. I love that how Big O said, what did he get that covered up with? What was it, Star Wars? Iron Man. Oh, that was close. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Take the man out of Manny, Texter writes. The Alex Dotto Show continues, 8 o'clock hour coming up here on QA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.